In the late stages of a presidential race, candidates want voters to see them alongside the big names of American presidential history. Depending on their ideology and their party, they might compare themselves to Washington, Lincoln, Reagan, or maybe one or both Roosevelts.
But one name that doesn't get dropped very often on the campaign trail, James Buchanan, 15th President of the United States. Elected as president in 1856, Buchanan served one term in office, and by the end of that term, states were seceding from the Union, kicking off the American Civil War.
Our next guest says James Buchanan wasn't just a bad president. He says there's a strong case to be made that Buchanan was the absolute worst president in American history.
Robert Strauss joins us now. His new book is Worst President Ever, James Buchanan, the POTUS Rating Game, and the Legacy of the Least of the Lesser Presidents. Robert, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you.
So this worst president ever, a very low bar there, how do you sort through the nuances of history to draw a firm conclusion for who could be the worst president ever?
Well, of course, I'll argue with anybody, and then they can always have their opinions. But when I pitched the book to my agent, who happens to be Obama's agent, so that's sort of interesting itself. But I said, well, you know, half of America thinks Barack Obama was the worst president. The other half thinks George Bush is the worst president. But neither of them started the Civil War.
All right. So there's something right there. So, I mean, are there objective criterion that you can look at about what makes a president a really bad one?
Well, you know, I give my case for Buchanan over a long term of his 4 years. I would say that when you look at these ratings, there have been many historical ratings by, you know, compiling historians and journalists and talking about it. But what I would say is you have to sort of rate them by what happens during their term and what the legacy is after their term. So Buchanan had a series of bad decisions. He was the most he had the longest resume of anybody who's ever run for president. He was a state legislator in Pennsylvania. He was a U.S. congressman, U.S. senator, ambassador to Russia, ambassador to England, and secretary of state. So that's about 30, 40 years of what people would call good public service. But and that's the big but. It, as the president, he really messed up.
Yeah, and you go into detail about him messing up as president. One place I read, you said he just couldn't make a decision. He was always waffling. Was that the downfall? Tell me a little bit about his inability to make a decision.
Right. Well, that's the overall thought. If you take all the people we think of as great presidents, Washington, Lincoln, FDR, they were all decisive guys. Buchanan spent all this time in his government service being conciliatory. He was an ambassador. Well, just think what ambassadors do. He never proposed any significant legislation. As Secretary of State, he was a waffler. President Polk, for whom he served, always looked at him and said, you know, what do you really want me to do? And he would go back and forth on every decision. But his legacy starts when he becomes president, when he gets elected in 1856, which is an odd election. Begin with three parties, two of them which never existed before, the Republicans and then the Know-Nothings. The Democrats were established, so they won with Buchanan, even though he was 65 years old, which was awfully old at the time. He looks around for a legacy, and his legacy is he's going to settle the slavery problem. So he sees this court case wandering around, the Dred Scott case, a slave that had gone to Minnesota with his military master for a while. So he was living in a free state, comes back to Missouri, master dies. He sues in court to become a free man. Buchanan goes behind the scenes, works with the Supreme Court Chief Justice Roger Taney, who went to Dickinson College, though not at the same time as Buchanan, where he also went to Dickinson. It's a small school in Pennsylvania. He decides to get another northern judge to go along with whatever Taney decides. The Supreme Court is 5 Southerners and 4 Northerners. And he finds another man named Robert Story, who also went to Dickinson. They decide that there is now a majority that includes Northerners in the case. So Taney comes out with this decision. He says Dred Scott can't sue. He's not a citizen. In fact, we can't even outlaw slavery in the North. The Constitution doesn't allow it. So Buchanan has influenced this decision. It becomes a disaster because the 20-year expansion of the government, the economy has been going on, stops on a dime. People don't know exactly what to do. Let's say you have a tin cup factory in Wisconsin somewhere. You decide, well, you know, I'm doing pretty well. Maybe I'll go down to Illinois, open up my second tin cup factory, and say, well, wait a second. So somebody can come up from Kentucky with slaves. So we stop. Commerce stops. There's a precipitous decline in the economy. It's called the Panic of 1857. Railroads go bankrupt. Other businesses go bankrupt in concert with them. Every bank in New York closes for a day, at least a day, because they won't take scrip. They won't take bills. They'll only take gold or silver. The North, which is dependent on manufacturing expansion, dries up, and Buchanan says, well, you guys speculated. You deserve it. You should have been like the people in the South, which had, you know, worked hard on the land with agriculture, were able to feed and clothe their people, and in that exacerbates the split between North and South.
We're talking with Robert Strauss right now, author of the new book, Worst President Ever, James Buchanan, the POTUS Rating Game, and the Legacy of the Least of the Lesser Presidents. And Robert, what you're describing there is, it sounds like someone who has sympathies with the South, and he also is trying to please the North, and it sounds like he kind of ends up in the middle, but pleasing no one. So what did he do when it came, do or not do, I guess, when it came to the Civil War and the possible dissolution of the Union?
Right. So at some point, he won't support the next candidate. He decided he's going to be a one-term president, and the next guy in line was Stephen Douglas, and he really didn't support him. And he put the convention in the South, where in Charleston, where nobody was going to nominate a Northern Democrat. Douglas was from Illinois. So the Democratic Party splits into 3, thus assuring Lincoln's election and then certainly assuring that the states would start to secede. And he says, well, the Constitution says they can't secede, but it never says anything that I can't do anything about it. So 7 states secede under his watch in that short time between Lincoln's election and his inauguration. So Buchanan does nothing to stop it. Of course, now we have 7 states that have started to form the Confederacy. The war is sort of inevitable at that point.
But to be fair, this is the eve of the Civil War. The nation is incredibly divided over the issue of slavery. Could anyone have been effective or succeeded in a situation like this? Is he getting a bad rap?
Well, no, he's not getting a bad rap because we do have an example, and that's Andrew Jackson. South Carolina had moved to nullify a law under Jackson. He says, no, you can't do it. And they say, well, then we're going to secede. And he says, no, you're not. And they don't. He uses the force of the office to keep the Union together. And succeeding presidents, while there's no question there's divisiveness and slavery being the big number. But, you know, the next 6 or 7 presidents, the country doesn't break up under them. They don't interpret things that way. So, yes, he could have stopped it.
We're talking about low points in American leadership with Robert Strauss, author of the new book, Worst President Ever, James Buchanan, the POTUS Rating Game, and the Legacy of the Least of the Lesser Presidents.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Who do you rank as the best or worst president in American history from the beginning of the nation through the 20th century? And how should we rank presidents? What factors should we throw into that mix? And what do you think of when, if you think of James Buchanan? What comes to mind there? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're continuing our conversation with Robert Strauss, author of the book Worst President Ever. He tells the story of President James Buchanan in the era leading up to the Civil War and tries to figure out what we can learn about what makes a bad president.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Who do you think is the worst president ever? And we can leave the most recent presidents maybe off that list so history has a little bit more time to settle down and give us an indication of what that legacy might be. Or do you have a question about James Buchanan or how we rank the best and the worst presidents? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And let's take a caller now, Camus from Madison. Hi, Camus.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What would you like to say about the worst president ever?
Well, I mean, I think that's a judgment call, but one thing, my two cents on this matter is that I think Taft, like William H. Taft, was a pretty bad president simply because he did not keep his word to Teddy Roosevelt. And Teddy Roosevelt was the one who pretty much established and set forth like a legacy of conservation agendas. And that was going to be hard to live up to anyways. But, you know, he was handpicked by Teddy Roosevelt. He didn't continue that at all.
And so what would you say, Robert, about other contenders for the worst president ever and Taft?
Well, you know, Taft's sort of in the middle there. He's not completely ineffectual. And you know, of course, Roosevelt sort of he ran against him the next time and sort of messed up his chances. But I would say that people sort of generally pick the same group of guys, so far they're only guys, as the worst. Franklin Pierce, Buchanan's predecessor, certainly ranks in there. He sort of led the way towards Buchanan, but of course the Civil War didn't start on his watch. A lot of people among modern presidents sort of pick Richard Nixon and Jimmy Carter. I would say Jimmy Carter's post-presidency makes him much more valuable. But he also, despite not doing so well in Iran, he did broker the only real Middle East peace settlement between Egypt and Israel. He brought consciousness to environmental issues. It depends on Nixon whether you think resigning in disgrace is worse than starting the Civil War, but Nixon also opened China to trade. He started the Environmental Protection Agency. He had other positive things during his presidency.
And looking back at Buchanan there, I'm curious, was his reputation as an ex-president already in the gutter, even in his own lifetime? Or is this one where we look back and go, oh, that didn't go well, and he was a terrible president?
Well, here's the thing. He did come home to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and had a little glory as he came home. But soon after, as the war gets started, even early in the war, people come by his house and throw vegetables at it. They write graffiti on the gates. He's scared that when the war comes to Gettysburg, which is not far from his house, that he'll be captured, and who knows what would happen to him. He did support Lincoln throughout the war, so he's conciliatory, but then he writes his memoirs, the first real memoirs of a president, and blames the North for starting the Civil War. So that didn't go over very well.
Yeah.
And he died not in disgrace, but not, you know, not as a hero.
And that's leading into what I wanted to ask you about. With this memoir that he wrote, how did he portray his term as president? Did he know that it went that poorly as it did?
Well, he knew that he didn't. He was a little despondent towards the end of his presidency. John Tyler, the ex-president, views him walking around the White House in sort of a depression towards the end of his term. So he knew things didn't go particularly well, but he doesn't take. Even afterwards, he doesn't really take responsibility for the worst thing that happened, which, of course, is the Civil War.
I'm curious, as we, you know, look toward the future and a new president, are there lessons that we can learn today to avoid the fate of James Buchanan? I mean, specifically looking at indecisiveness. Is that one of the fatal flaws a president can have?
That's what I would say. I would say, look, I mean, president comes in. Who should he or she look to? Well, you know, you can't sort of replicate Washington and Lincoln's term. You can't start the country over again, and it's unlikely we're going to go into civil war, despite what some people might think. So who do you look at? Do you look at James Monroe, you know, like pretty good president? I mean, that's like saying you want to be the second best hitter on your baseball team. So what you can do is look at a failed presidency and say, I don't want to do that. And if you're going to be serious, I can be humorous about it, but if you want to be serious about it, it's being decisive. That's what you're going to make mistakes, but you got to make a decision. You're the top person now. You're not the ambassador. You're not the secretary of state. You're not even a senator. You're the top person. And as you know, the cliche about Truman, the buck stops here. And that's what you have to do, I think, to be a good president.
Robert, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm glad to have been there.
That was Robert Strauss, and we've been talking about his new book. It's called Worst President Ever, James Buchanan, The POTUS Rating Game, and the Legacy of the Least of the Lesser Presidents.